Howdy ho, Lily and Bustle.
Ooh, happy spooky Halloween, Jen Ponton.
Spooky Halloween.
Happy Halloween, fuck buddies.
Are you doing anything fun for Halloween?
We are all dressing up like characters from Toy Story.
So cute. Oh my gosh.
Guess who's gonna be Woody?
Who?
A bear!
Oh, I hope be the best.
And Arlo's gonna be Buzz Lightyear.
Oh my god. What are you two being?
Jory was thinking Slinky Doggy or also being Woody, and I was like, you and Bear can match, it's fine.
That's
and
hilarious.
I am gonna pull out one of my Selkies and be Bo Peep. Easy peasy, done.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, what are you gonna do for Halloween?
So we got this idea from those dad joke videos I think I told you about. There's a YouTube channel called Yeah Mad. They're like Australian comedians, and they do a thing where they tell each other stupid jokes, and if the other person laughs, they have to take a shot.
No, you have never ever mentioned this to me at all, or else I'd be watching it all the time.
Oh, there are a lot to tear through. They're really funny. Yeah, the channel is called Yeah Mad. And it's hilarious. Obviously, there's some off-color things in there. I do not believe that any of these comedians have any ill will or intentions towards anybody. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, content warning. Comedy.
Fair.
Content warning.
Yeah, there's for comedy. That. There's that.
But the joke was, what does Moses's wife's apron say?
What does it say?
The hostess with the Moses. So Don is going as Moses, and I'm making an apron that says that.
Oh, my shit. Yes.
Great. So, but yeah, I was like, Don, get your costume. Don, get your costume. Get your costume. Get your costume. So today he was like, well, he was really hung up on the fact that none of the Moses outfits came with tablets. And I was like, that's not the hard part. We can make you some tablets.
Then
he was like, so today I was like, have you ordered your thing? And he was like, I just ordered it now. It should come on Friday. Can you get me a wig and staff and tablets? No
Use
problem.
Use a legal pad, Donnie Majors. What are we talking about? Use two iPads and be a dork about it.
So when I Googled, right. Oh, that's heavy to carry around, but very funny.
That is true.
When I Googled, like, prop 10 commandments, I actually got a Sotheby's listing for, like, the sale of the original Ten Commandments from the movie.
Oh, my that, God.
I was like, how realistic do you want to go? Could be yours for only
$27,000. $27,000. Shockingly less than I thought it would be, even though it's still ridiculous.
Yeah, I have no idea what people pay for movie stuff, but very funny. Anyway, yeah, mine's very low-key, but apparently I have to go to a Spirit of Halloween today, which is
amazing.
My favorite place to go after Halloween, my least favorite place to go before Halloween.
Kay's working at one this year.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, they must get pretty good discounts.
I think so. And Halloween is her absolute favorite, so I think that she's like reveling in it.
But that's hilarious.
There's also a horror movie that came out called Spirit Halloween, and it's about like some kind of a haunted or cursed location where then a Spirit Halloween is. Oh, the plot is probably that whatever store it was before it became a Spirit Halloween was like closed by some asshole, and then the woman who owned the business put a curse on the site, and so now like whatever business is there is meant to fail. Yeah, so
that sounds like a meme, not a movie.
I mean,
that's the only reason that Spirit Halloweens ever get to move in anywhere is because there's empty storefronts where things keep failing.
Did I tell you that my storage unit that I had absolutely was across from a Spirit Halloween? Like the actual, my actual locker unit. Like I'd go into the building and my, and the unit across the little hallway from mine, so 4 feet away, you'd see skeleton arms and skulls sticking out the top of it because it was inside. And so I realized it must have been where Spirit Halloween goes the other whatever the fuck months of the year.
However, that's really funny.
Isn't that crazy? It was actually really delightful.
Maybe it's just one of those psycho homeowners who has to decorate everything within an inch of its life.
There were so many. There were so many, like, skeleton hands and arms sticking out of this thing like it was the fucking Temple of Doom.
What if it was actual, like, the locker of a serial killer? And you were like, hardy har har.
It was temperature controlled to help reduce any kinds of suspicious smells.
I mean, if you've gone so far as to, like, take everything off of a skeleton and then rewire it so it would be poseable, I'm assuming you went far enough as to, like, bleach it. Is it weird bleached that I just gave that so much butthole. Thought?
No, it tracks.
Welcome to my neurodivergence.
You might give all the fucks if.
Oh my God. Can I just put that on my resume? Do you need to game out how to bleach a skeleton? I'm your girl.
The number of calls that you would get, if you put that in the Village Voice right now.
Oh, that's not.
If this were 2000.
That's not the kind of replies I want.
Well, not now. Who knows what you were up for when you just hit New York City all fresh and.
Oh, my God. I was just telling somebody about that the other day about how, because I told you I realized I had performed in all three of the performance spaces at the Crane on East 4th Street. And that I had had a very bad blind date there at the Red Room. I think it was called KGB Bar then. I don't think it's called that now. And yeah, just the wacky people who had answered that that personal ad. That guy was nice though. He was just too old.
It could have been so much worse.
Oh, for sure. Because, you know, I was living with, like, my grandma and my dad, and you know that I didn't give them, like, the information of the person I was going to see. Mm-hmm. I could have 1,000,000% been kidnapped.
Except I'm
hard to kidnap, it's but.
Kind of shocking how many of those opportunities have been there in the sauce, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. In hindsight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the sauce. still though, if you can manage to kidnap me, you have won me because
you
I am
me.
Difficult to kidnap and probably
more
even
difficult
more difficult
to keep happy.
Yes. You better kill me right away because boy am I going to be annoying.
If you like a challenge. Just try and entertain this one.
No. You know that they're going to look for, like, a skinny Hoboken girl instead.
Thank God.
Why bother? I mean,
none of them listen to this. And my apology to you if any of you do.
And have also been kidnapped.
Yes. We're bullying one really intense demographic.
They're fine. It's not like small people don't know that they're easier to pick up and run away with. They know.
That's why they love it. They're pro-trafficking.
No.
April's going to call you and be like, I heard what Jen said.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, I could definitely have picked her up under one arm and run off like a football.
Easy, yeah. Like a fucking placard at a video store.
Oh my God. I was just talking to someone recently about all the stuff that we used to steal. Did I ever tell you about the time I was with people who we stole a life-size cardboard cutout of Clopin from Hunchback of Notre Dame to give to our friend Kelly as a birthday present?
Yes. This rings so far back. But I think only because I've only heard someone say Clopin a very specific, like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't come up a whole lot in casual conversation in your household.
Yeah.
Very funny. Topsy-turvy. Girl.
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited for spooky stories.
Yeah. Do you want to get cracking?
Hell yeah. How much overlap should we see whether or not we have?
Oh, I mean, I picked like 6 or 7 stories. So if you have, I tried to scroll past the first ones pretty far. So I think I got pretty far into them. We're going to be reading from Jezebel's scary story submissions. Yeah.
This is our fourth year, our fourth Halloween doing this. I know. It's I'm going to take the wins where we can. I know we've like been on hiatus a large amount of the last 2 years, but what the fuck ever. I'm absolutely going to take a major win for that.
Oh my God. It I really know. Is.
Halloween 2020, Halloween 2021. Oh, like, and Halloween 2022. Yes, yes, yes. We got our shit together last year. And now the fourth one, Halloween 2023.
I cannot believe it's been that long.
Yeah, I just saw you malfunction there.
Yeah. Did you see the steam? Uh-huh. It's coming right out of my ears. Oh, no. Weep, womp, womp.
Oh.
Well, you know what, though? I have to say before we even start all of this, I am glad that I'm feeling so much better and starting to feel like a human again. And, I mean, agog at how long I felt like I was in a holding pattern, like, emotionally, physically, psychically, like, oof.
Would you like to know how far I've come?
Hmm.
I just got major inspiration this weekend to do a one-woman show. And it's a thought I've almost never had.
Yay.
I think I had it way, 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 way back in the very beginning of my career when I was fresh out of fresh out of college. And now I'm like, oh, this is the right move. And I could be in the world and I could be doing this and I could be like crafting a really good story. So
yay.
That feels like the first sane thought that I have had in 4 fucking years.
That's lovely. I love Isn't this. That,
yeah, right?
Yay.
I know the feeling. I was with my aunt and uncle and I was like, you know, I feel like it's been quarantined this whole time. And they're like, it hasn't. I'm like, yeah, I know, but... But maybe more for me and you because our industries have been so fucking rocked.
Right.
More than other people. And yeah. Now especially with 6 months of strikes.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah. It's so necessary and I support it so wholeheartedly that I almost can't be mad about it, but I'm definitely mad at all of the reasons that yes. We need to do it.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah. Son of a gun.
I have one here by username Antigone. When I was in 4th grade, my mom and I moved a few hours away to live with my grandma. I was an only child and painfully shy. All my friends had been my friends since forever, and I had no idea how to talk to these new kids at school. One day at recess, a girl named Lizzie introduced herself and immediately became my new best friend. We would walk home from school together and hang out for a while before she walked the rest of the way home. My mom was still at work in the afternoons, but my grandma was always around. Grandma was starting to act weird, though. Sometimes she'd call me by my mom's name or yell at me and accuse me of stealing her things. Lizzie and I mostly played in the backyard to avoid my grandma, but sometimes I'd look up and see her smoking a cigarette and glaring at us through the windows.
Goodness.
Lizzie told me about camping with her family in the woods, something my family had never done. I was fascinated by the idea, so we would play act all the things they did, hiking around the backyard in circles, pitching an imaginary tent, fishing in an imaginary stream, and gathering sticks and logs for firewood. So fucking wholesome. One afternoon, as we slipped through the house to the backyard, Lizzie grabbed my grandma's lighter off the end table next to her cigarettes and motioned for me to stay quiet. It didn't occur to me to worry. We went into the backyard where we had previously built an enormous mound of fallen tree branches, twigs, and dry leaves.
No.
And Lizzie bent down and flicked that lighter on.
This bitch.
Have you ever really watched a fire grow? For the longest time, it seems like nothing, like it's going to just burn out. And then the time from when it starts to get going to when it blazes out of control goes by in the blink of an eye. I guess until that point, I somehow thought it wasn't going to get big. And then the side of our house was on fire.
No!
Lizzie dropped the lighter and ran, and I just stood there dumbfounded. I don't remember a lot about what happened after that. I remember my grandma freaking out and the sirens. Luckily, the fire department got there quickly and my grandma's house wasn't completely destroyed. But my mom sent me back to live with my dad and I went back to my old school. I was too ashamed to tell my friends what had happened. I'm sure someone, some adult, must have asked me how my grandma's house came to be on fire, but I don't remember talking about it. Within the year, my grandma was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and my mom was spending all her time taking care of her. The only time I saw my grandma again after I moved away and before she died, she had no idea who I was. Recently, my mom made a comment about how much it worried her when I couldn't make friends as a kid. I was a little hurt. I had friends, just not for a few weeks after she uprooted me in the middle of the school year. And then I brought up Lizzie. Lizzie? My mom said.
Ooh.
Who's Lizzie? I realized, in retrospect, my mom never actually met Lizzie. But surely she knew of her existence. Lizzie wasn't in my class, but we spent every recess and lunch together. She was at our house almost every day after school, with my grandma watching us through the window. My mom had no recollection of grandma ever mentioning a friend of mine. And in fact, she remembers being told at a parent-teacher conference shortly before the fire that I still seemed to have no friends and was always alone. I racked my brain for some evidence of Lizzie's existence that might have survived the years, but I don't remember any pictures or anyone else I talked to during that time who would have seen her. My mom asked where she lived. I said I had never been to her house, but she told me she lived just a few blocks down the street, and I always saw her walking that way when she left our house. My mom shook her head and said there weren't that many houses that way. Ours was the last block. After that was an industrial park. The few houses that way had no kids living in them, as far as she knew.
Whoa. Oh, that's insane. That's why grandma was always giving you the side eye, girl. She thought you were talking to yourself. Uh-huh. Grandma's over here like, they think I'm going crazy. Uh-huh. Jesus. Oh, my God.
Tell me a scary story.
Okay, this one is from Unclean Levity. This one sucks.
Oh, yay!
Oh, my God.
I love ones that suck.
This is my first time posting because until recently, I've never had anything that spooky happen, but this event floats back to my brain every so often, and I still have no idea what the fuck this was about.
Until recently?
It was the summer of 2020. And my husband, Connor, and I were lamenting the implosion of our long-awaited European vacation. On a whim, we decided to go on a road trip to a small college town in upstate New York. We had lived there happily for years. while my husband worked to get his PhD at the local university, and it was known for its excellent restaurants, beautiful hiking trails, and at the time, low COVID numbers. This has got to be Ithaca.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
A 4-hour drive from our apartment. Mm-hmm. Seemed like the perfect getaway from our suddenly suffocating one bedroom. We enjoyed a magical weekend filled with socially distanced catch-up sessions with old friends, delectable food and drink, and hiking to our heart's content. Can you, just a real quick moment, can you imagine being like, gosh, I've never been able to hike to my heart's content? You were like, you know what I need? More hiking.
This is a bitch who has never been fat in her life. Go on.
Hiking to our heart's content. In no rush to return to our quarantine digs, we delayed our trip home until late evening on Sunday, heading out to the pitch black and steamy summer night after enjoying one last delicious meal at our favorite restaurant. Now, I had taken this drive countless times, having been long distance with Connor during his first year of drag school. Mm-hmm. Yes! Drag school. Because of his because of his insane schedule, it was almost always me who had to make the long drive up. And after prolonging our goodbyes as long as possible, I often drove back in the dead of night. Most of the drive takes place on one long state highway through rolling hills. Although I would occasionally feel a bit on edge during my solo trips, feeling the high beams of a car linger behind me for a little too long, wondering how alone I really was during my pee breaks at the one rest stop I passed each trip, I never had any actual incidents to speak of. 99% of the time, it was a tranquil experience. After a quick bathroom break, my husband took over driving, leaving me to enjoy controlling the music and staring out the window at the formidable fir trees that stretched endlessly in all directions. We were about 2 hours into the ride, seemed to be the only car on the road, and our conversation had just fallen into a comfortable lull. It was then that my eyes caught sight of the mangled corpse of a deer on the side of the road. Sorry, I should have put a warning for animal stuff. The deer looked fairly fresh and the impact of the animal seemed severe, but most disturbing to me was its position. The way it had been dragged to the driver's side of the road along the divider, far from the woods it must have wandered out onto the road from, was strange. Its body was carefully splayed out, not like it had been struck and then hastily dragged aside as one might expect, but like the perpetrator had given thought to how to position the deer in its final resting place and not in a respect for nature kind of way.
Oh no. Oh.
Connor spotted it seconds after me, and we let out ohs of pity for the poor animal. About 10 minutes later, another dead deer came into view. Again on the driver's side, and again carefully laid out along the median as if it were a work of art and not a slain animal. Yikes, Connor said softly as we passed by. Spotting roadkill was not uncommon along this road, but I couldn't shake this feeling of creeping panic. The heightened sense of alertness I felt when I've been out alone in the evening shot through me. I peered in my window into the black forest, searching for any signs of life. Another 10 minutes passed. Is that another deer? I asked Connor,
now convinced that this is deliberate.
Yeah, he breathed. His brow screwed up in equal parts confusion and discomfort. That's weird, he added after a beat. After another pause, he casually continued a conversation we had had over dinner about anime, one of our favorite let's just change the subject pivots, and I felt my pulse begin to slow just a bit.
I'd rather talk about the dead deers.
But then 10 more minutes had gone, and a bloody coyote was on display this time, our headlights casting a cold spotlight on its lifeless body. Okay, what the fuck, I yelped. We've heard that animals started venturing out further than usual during COVID since there's less humans around, Connor said slowly. Maybe more of them are running out into the road than usual. A true scientist, he's always searching for the logical, least spooky explanation. He tried in vain to continue our conversation, and 10 minutes later, we were both on edge. That's when I saw it. Not a deer or a coyote, but what appeared to be a bobcat. Bloody and meticulously displayed on the side of the divider. Now it was my husband's turn to say, what the fuck? We fell into an extremely uncomfortable silence. All the hairs on the back of my neck shot up as I forced out an insane and unsettling thought. It's like these are mile markers. Connor glanced at me in horror, refusing to weigh in on the Twilight Zone episode we found ourselves in. Although he said nothing, I felt him press harder on the gas. If they were markers, I dreaded finding what they were leading us to. We continued past a few more dead animals as we wordlessly prayed for the easy pass signs to appear, signaling that it would soon be turning off onto a much more populated and well-lit throughway.
Oh my fuck.
I couldn't shake the feeling that despite the lack of other cars on the road, we were not alone out there.
No!
For what felt like an eternity, my eyes darted between the rear view and the shadowy trees ahead, hoping nothing new entered my line of vision. Finally, we reached the toll booth and Connor slammed on the gas as soon as he saw that our Easy Pass payment had registered, like he thought someone may leap into our car at any moment. As we turned onto the busier throughway, we both let out a long sigh and realized we had been holding our breath for the last few minutes of the ride. We didn't see another bit of roadkill for the rest of the drive. Once the immediate sense of peril subsided, we let out nervous laughter and talked about how fucking crazy that was, though we never mentioned it again since.
Oh my god, that's so unnerving.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who or what was killing those animals, what they were leading to, or what would have happened if we hadn't gone off that road. Ha!
Why the fuck would they not do us the public service of telling us what road that was, what town it was in?
Correct. Scary.
Okay. The Watcher. My freshman year of college, I lived in an all-women's dorm located on a quiet street not far from the center of campus. The campus itself is old and rural, tucked away in the mountains, and the isolation gives it a reputation for safety. But what all freshmen are warned about early are the ghosts. There are a number of them on campus. In one of the all-men's dorms, a room supposedly locks people in as an angry spirit batters the walls and doors. And there's a music building where a friend reported a sense of constant malevolent observation. No, during any piano practices.
No!
My dorm, too, had a reputation for haunting, although my roommate and I didn't know that at the time. Only a month into the semester, I was woken up by a noise late at night. Half asleep, I remember glancing at my roommate. I could see the faint outline of her in the bed across the room, sitting rigidly upright. I heard another sound, but this time I was more awake and could see something at the door, a dark, blurred outline. This wasn't unusual. We never kept our door locked, and our suite mates and friends down the hall would often wander in, especially if they were tipsy and looking for company or a late night snack. Perhaps because of that, I don't remember being afraid, just tired. I looked at the shadow, told it to leave, and fell back asleep. The next morning, I only foggily remembered the whole thing and wasn't too concerned, but my roommate was terrified. She insisted on reporting it to our RA. It was from her that we learned about the ghosts. The dorm, she said, had once been a Civil War field hospital. Oh, reasonable. Why the fuck? Why?
Whoa.
Late at night, the ghosts of lost soldiers walk up and down the corridor, knocking on doors as they search for a way out. What the fuck? Who turns that into a place where children go?
Let's make this into a dorm. Yes, exactly.
My God, just make it a fucking giant broom closet. What are you doing? Late at night, the ghosts of... Yeah. Neither of us were entirely convinced, I think. I know I still suspected it was just a friend drunkenly looking for their own room. But it was undeniably exciting to have a ghost story attached to us. With a bit of a thrill, we and our friends began a sort of ghost watch, listening for footsteps, collecting stories from older residents. As soon as we started, we noticed strange, disquieting things. Rustles through the walls, knocks on doors late at night. A friend of ours reported seeing a face trapped and reflected in the glass of her bedroom window. After a couple of weeks, the thrill wore off, and we were increasingly afraid. We told the other RA, a skeptic who rolled her eyes and told us not to worry about it. Upperclassmen just like to scare freshmen with ghost stories. But we knew something was there, and we began to feel like we had no options. We felt trapped as we waited for the ghost to appear again, watching us as we slept. When it came again, it was like the last time. A sound in the dark. My rigid roommate. A dark shadow in the door. This time, however, after weeks of watching, I was afraid. And maybe it was my fear, but this time it felt larger and like it was much further into the room, almost to the foot of my bed. Filled with adrenaline, I sat up, clutched my fists, and told it to back the fuck off. For a moment, nothing happened. Then it was gone. It took a moment for either my roommate or I to move, but when we could, I flipped on the light and she rushed to close the door. We stayed up all night and most of the next. But ghosts respond to assertive swearing, apparently, and it didn't appear again. It was a couple of weeks later that we learned the real horror story. The campus police captured a prowler lurking outside another residence hall, peering through the windows. Reports had been happening for weeks. Other students had noticed an intruder, seen a face peering in through the windows, hearing strange noises. The police had been telling dorm staff to warn students to lock their doors while police searched for the prowler. Our RAs, though, didn't take it seriously. The campus was too safe. My roommate and I lived for weeks with a prowler lurking outside our room. The rustling through the walls, the dark outline in the door, it was him all the time, watching and waiting for the opportunity to come in.
He was in her room.
He was at the foot of the bed. I hate it.
Why? How could a group of people whose job it is to protect the people on the hall collectively be like, it's fine? That is terrible.
No.
No.
I hate it. I hate it.
I have a Jersey City one.
Ooh, give it to me.
I was very excited about that. Ooh, I gotta take a deep breath after that. That really clutched my chest up. Those prowler ones, Okay. Battle Wagon Betty. What a great name. A few years ago, my wife and I went to spend time trick-or-treating with our goddaughter and her siblings in Jersey City. Rather than fight the subway system and subsequent debauchery during the village Halloween parade, we decided to take a lift home to our South Brooklyn apartment about 45 minutes in a car. We got a surprisingly great fare considering the distance and tolls involved, and shortly thereafter, a slight beat-up black Lincoln Town car pulls up in front of us.
Oh, fuck.
Our driver was a sweet older Filipino man who had great conversations, who we had great conversations with, but the topics were the most bizarre. The first freaky AF topic was about Halloween celebrations. My wife and I were talking about parties, haunted houses, and costume contests, fairly typical, innocuous celebrations, until our driver started talking about the Halloween parties back in his village in the Philippines. Per his story, due to the strong Catholic tradition there, Halloween and All Saints' Day are celebrated by honoring the dead, visiting graves of family and friends that have passed, and sometimes even camping out in the cemeteries. Apparently, his village was a little more remote, so that the residents would celebrate by getting fantastically drunk as well. However, shit got weird when he told us about one particular occasion when his uncle and some friends, very inebriated, dug up a casket, carried it through the town to someone's house, and then opened the casket so they could drink with the dead.
What? No.
While we'd love to believe that maybe he was pulling our leg in an effort to keep the ooh and spooky that holiday season, his cadence and uproarious laughter in retelling the episode lead us to believe that it was indeed a memory, although perhaps a bit exaggerated. We hope exaggerated, but truth be told, I know it's super creepy, but I kind of love the idea of having that body one last, of that body having one last night on the town. I don't think that you should love that idea. That's Jersey City, though. Then as the laughter dies down and we prepare to enter the battery tunnel, our driver looks in the rearview mirror and asks, "Do you believe in ghosts?" Cut to the bone collector. I revealed one supernatural experience of my own, ghostly blue lights in the 300-year-old cemetery of the church I grew up in as a kid in rural South Jersey.
Oh, this fucking place.
And while I lean heavily on the side of science, I fully believe that there are some things that cannot be explained within that framework and love the mystery of connection to people, energy, and thoughts from the past. Then, knowing whatever came next was going to be a doozy, I asked him if he had ever interacted with a ghost. And y'all, my dude did not disappoint. I had a recording of most of the conversation, but when I upgraded my phone, I forgot to keep it because I'm an idiot. So here's what I remember. I've actually done that. I think I told you one time I got in a car and I was all done up and the lady driving was like, "Where are you off to a photo shoot?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I do burlesque. I'm going to go perform." And then she was like, "Do you cam?" And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Are you a cam girl? You would make a lot of money." And then this older lady like launched into her whole story about how she had been making bank on OnlyFans because she had nudes from when she was younger and then was doing nudes now. And that specific combination was like really making her a lot of money.
Anyway, way to go, niche lady.
Can't yes, pop in. But also, usually when I get into a car with a woman, I'm like, this is going to be safe and not involve sex at all. And I was wrong. Anyway, but I have a recording of that somewhere. So here's what I remember. In addition to a number of other spooky things that happened in his village as a child, our driver had worked for several decades as a driver in the greater New York area and New York City area, and plenty of strange things happened. While house sitting for one former employer out in Long Island, he had so many odd things occur that he left after a few days and called the owner to say he quit. But it was the last story that he told that stuck with me. A few months before this experience, our driver had learned that a childhood friend of his who still lived in the Philippines was not doing well. He was older and had apparently fallen ill, and it wasn't looking great for his longevity. This person's using too many big words for no reason. They tried to stay in touch when they could, but this was before cell phones were a thing, and due to the time zone difference in the nature of his job, it was often months or years would go by without them talking. He had just dropped off his employer at a house somewhere upstate, a few hours outside of the city, and was on his way back. He suddenly found himself thinking about his friend and feeling pretty down about not being able to see him again, and then the hairs on the back of his neck stood up, and he felt a presence behind him. Despite his fear, he glanced into the rearview mirror, and there, sitting in the rear passenger side seat, was what he described as a black shadow. He didn't feel any particular bad vibes from the shadow, but it was definitely there, and definitely not moving, just hanging out, semi-translucent. Too afraid to stop the car or turn around to acknowledge the presence, he drove silently with the dark apparition in the back seat for 2 hours, occasionally glancing back to confirm that it was still there, when it suddenly faded away just outside of the Bronx and finally leaving him alone in his car. No. I love that even spirits are like, I'm not fucking with the Bronx. No. He drove home and his wife met him at the door to let him know that his friend had just passed away about 3 hours earlier, exactly when he started thinking about his friend and the shadow had appeared. It seemed like his friend wanted to take one last ride with him before moving on. Aww. My wife and I were slack-jawed in the back of his car for the entire story and were safely dropped off at home shortly thereafter. We thanked him for the ride and the stories and tipped very well to avoid any shadows potentially following us out of the car. While I cannot confirm the veracity of any of these stories, I'm fully in the I want to believe camp and would like to thank the universe and whatever powers for the gift of that car ride with that driver. Doot, doot, doot.
Wow, there we are. That was good. I liked that. I have one from Tony Young. 1996, Chicago suburbs. I was a scrawny 14-year-old boy. Picture it. My sister and I were home alone. She was in her bedroom on the other side of the house. I was doing homework at our kitchen table, facing a floor-to-ceiling window facing the backyard. It was already dark outside, which meant the window was basically a mirror reflection. Nope, don't like that already.
No, indeed not.
Don't love that. The dog was in the yard barking and wouldn't stop barking, so I opened the door to let her in, but she was standing at the edge of the patio, focused on something out in the yard. Fuck. Whatever it was, she was very fixated and would not come in. I walked out to grab her, but she stayed growling into the dark. I looked around, expecting a cat or a squirrel, but near the back fence next to the shed was a strange dark shape that shouldn't be there. Realizing he had been seen, an adult man stood up and gave me kind of a nervous shrug and half wave, like, oh, hey. I remember he seemed like a really big guy, tall and wide, in jeans and an oversized jacket. He was normal looking, and since he waved, I waved back. Then he started walking towards me. And that's when it clicked that there should not be an adult man I don't know in our backyard at night. Trying to act normal and not look scared, I pulled the dog inside and locked the door behind me.
Fuck!
To avoid going in front of the kitchen window where he would see me, I went the other way into the laundry room and locked that door. I heard him try the doorknob a few times, then lightly knock a little, and then lightly knock a few times, try the doorknob again a little harder, and then it went quiet. I stood there, not moving, when my dog started growling. The window in the laundry room was fogged over, but I saw him step in front of it. He did a slow finger-strum tap on the window, which made my dog start going crazy. Then he did a couple light knocks on the window. I screamed, "I called the cops! You better get out of here!" He stood there a moment, and then he moved away from the window. My dog stayed on alert for the next few minutes, but eventually laid down. I stayed completely frozen, listening for any movement outside or inside, but could not move. When I heard my sister come into the kitchen, I ran out, yelling at her to get back in the bedroom where we called 911. Police came within a few minutes. One of them sat with us while the other looked around the yard. All they found were a bunch of cigarette butts behind the shed. More came and searched the neighborhood, but did not find the man. My mom came home shortly after, and I slept in the same room with her for the next few weeks. We never heard anything of it again, but it was a couple years before I stayed home alone at night.
Vomit.
I hate it!
I am probably going to skip. I had another one that was about a peeping Tom and cigarette butts. Horrifying. I feel like there was one a few years ago, too, where the person was like, oh, I thought somebody was outside my window and nobody believed me.
Oh,
and then they
God.
Went and there was a bunch of cigarette butts like right outside. Why would that is somebody who wants you to know that they've been there.
Uh-huh.
God.
Uh-huh.
Rah! Oh, fuck.
Horrifying.
So terrible. So terrible. Do you remember the one last year that was in the top 10 about the black dog?
Somebody's ghost dog or no?
Do you remember that? Should
Not
I find
very
it?
Very well.
All right. So I found a follow-up to this story from last year, which I think that we may have told, but it is definitely worth retelling. So this from doesn't say who it's from. Oh, Mary Minstrelsy.
Oh, good.
Okay. So this story is pretty simple, but it always stuck with me. I grew up in the thick of southern Appalachia. I never gave much credence to the old folk tales I heard, and there were plenty. I met my boyfriend when I was 16. Drugs had saturated our area. To party, we would ride down the mountain in his black Honda Civic out the several miles of gravel road to the army camp at the river to party. You know, can vouch. this particular night, there was going to be a meteor shower, and we wanted to see it. We crept through the darkness down the winding mountain, across the bridge, and the access road across the river. I had been there 100 times. The night felt unreasonably dark, heavy almost. There were no real residences on this road that led right to the waters of the freezing New River. I was not really a believer of anything supernatural. I'm still really skeptical. We were rumbling down the road, and nothing seemed out of place until we saw it. In the road ahead, a black dog. Not a wolf, but easily just as big. A Great Dane if I've ever seen one, and I had not in real life. There are no residences, nothing around that would make you think that this expensive dog would be on this road. But there it stood in our headlights, and my boyfriend rolled to a stop as we looked at it. It was kind of postured? I don't know. It was illuminated by our headlights, hackles up in a way I'd never really seen. It just stood there. He beeped his horn and started creeping closer in the car. This dog did not care, seemingly unconcerned. The closer we got, the more unreasonably unnerved I felt. That sounds reasonable to me. That's reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
It was just staring at us like I could feel its gaze through the windshield until it was practically against the bumper and it was not going to move. We were in a standoff. So my boyfriend went around. He painstakingly cut his wheels, went off the gravel road to go around this unmoving hulk of a black dog. If it was in the middle of the road, we veered to the left of it so that it was on my side as we moved past. I remember how it stared at me. It was so tall that it was eye level with me in the passenger seat.
What the fuck?
That's a big ass dog. I remember begging him to hurry past because there was just an awful feeling. It was aware of my discomfort. I'll never forget staring into its shock yellow eyes right at eye level as we veered around it. It stared at me, unmoving, unbothered. Then we just rolled around it. Its head didn't move. It didn't adjust its gaze as we continued. It disappeared into the inky darkness of the road, and I felt so cold and upset. We got to the river, and I refused to leave the car. I had this unmistakable feeling that this thing was still out there just beyond the trees, somewhere out in that pitch black. There was a meteor shower that night, and I barely watched it through the car's sunroof because all I felt was that gaze, those horrible yellow eyes. It was still out there. I never liked going back to the river after that. I can't explain the sense of dread, feeling of a thing being so out of place. I never saw it again, though, but I'll never forget it. I never knew something that seemed so common. It was just a dog could make me feel such deep dread, such palpable unease. Even now, thinking of those eyes makes my throat tighten. I feel like I saw the devil that night.
That does not sound like a dog. That sounds like maybe a dog man.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's a New Jersey cryptid, I'm sure. Carney J says, this might not be as scary as others, but it freaked me out and I've waited a whole year to share. Last year, there was a story in the top 10 about a black dog at army camp. The poster talked about going to the river to watch a meteor shower. I know where that is. I've been there, taking my kids to swim in the river there. My husband has a house not far from there, and he's seen the black dog. When we were dating, we went up on top of a nearby mountain to watch the Perseids in August, the meteor shower. Just us on a dirt road at a wide spot at the top of a mountain where kids used to party. We were sitting on the hood of the car looking for meteors when we heard the most otherworldly, unholy, raspy, rattling, breathing noise coming from the woods near us. We've both spent our entire lives in the deep woods of Appalachia and seen and heard some shit, but this literally scared my husband like nothing I've ever seen since. We looked at each other and without speaking got back in the car and got the hell off that mountain. So when I read the story last year of the black dog at army camp, I was excited to tell my husband about it. And then we were discussing what we heard on that mountain that night and wondered if it had anything to do with the meteor shower. And then he reluctantly tells me he's seen the black dog. The night his best friend was killed in a car accident, he nearly hit a black dog standing on the bridge over the creek on the way to the hospital. A black dog standing in the middle of the road so big that it could look in the windows of his car as he went around it. No one in that neighborhood owned a black dog and he's never seen it again.
Oh, and that happened fuck, no.
And that happened in August, peak Perseids.
No. So that motherfucker had to see it two times.
I got some good ass goosebumps working.
And now you have rainbow goosebumps because
I do.
Gay little goosebumps.
I wouldn't have them any other way.
That is horrifying. That is absolutely a dogman story. That's fucking crazy.
Yikes.
I will also have you know that when we last did our Weird NJ episodes and you told me about that thing that runs really fast.
No.
I think about it, A, all the time. B, it is right near me. And I have had to drive on that exact road through the place where it lives in the dark. Dark.
I forgot about that thing. I don't, when things move
weird,
when things are just scary. Yeah. If you're like, oh, it's a werewolf and it's like, rah, rah, rah. Sure. Okay. But like when it's fast zombies or like, how is something running with its arms by its side? Like anything or like heads turning around or that like backwards crab walk thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That shit just ruins me. Do you know
that's why we're actually afraid of spiders? It's because of the like hyper reticulation of their legs and it makes them move in a way that to us is very unnatural. So it's not that they're like, oh, frightened with fang and many leg. It's like the way their legs move is alien.
Oh,
and
sure.
And it's something about that that like speaks to the most terrified little part of our amygdalas. It's like, bitch, run.
See also house centipedes.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, I wonder if they're the same rule.
Hold on. I mean, it has to, it's the same concept, but with more legs.
Spider move fear. The okay. All right. First of all,
what'd you just get?
The article is it's an academic journal that comes up, and the title of it is Out of Control: The Role of Spider Movement and Intolerance of Uncertainty in Spider Fear.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God someone out there is studying this.
It's a scientific journal that experimentally tests whether spider-specific movements are indeed a major cue in triggering spider fear.
We have to stop talking about this. I did not realize how much it was going to pop. Oh my God, at my show on Saturday, there's a performer named Ivory Fox, and they are fantastic and also an incredible singer, and they have they've rewritten the words to Diamonds Are Forever and It's Roaches Are Forever, and they've got like this elaborate, I helped them put it on, and other people like had to leave the room. This elaborate like necklace of fake cockroaches that like go down to their like swagging to their wrists and stuff.
People had to leave.
There was one performer who like the show was going on, and she knew that Ivory was coming down to perform, and still like audibly went like right outside where the performance was.
No, thank you. Fuckity fuck. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. Okay. What shall we do now?
Can you imagine being that husband? And you had this awful experience, and then your wife is like, hey, isn't this crazy? Somebody saw this crazy black dog up where we had that freak out. And I also want to mention, if you have never been a person who lived near the woods, like woods might scare you in general, but like I grew up running around the woods. Like I would go for peaceful walks around our house late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Even knowing that, you know, occasionally we actually did hear people outside, just chalked it up to the fact that there were kids who would go down to that rope swing at the end of the public landing. But yeah, you get so used to the woods, and unless something's weird, like a night when there's no crickets or something like that, like there have been weird times, and it's usually just like a storm is coming or something. But like I have felt weird in the woods and been like, but I've also felt like so comfortable that I was alone and felt like I could take a nap, you know?
It really is it is this total dichotomy with the woods. I want to be in the woods and also fear the woods.
Right. Healthy respect of the woods.
Totally. Very good boundaries. Mm-hmm. Okay. Get ready for more creepy children.
Give me creepy babies.
Okay. When I had just turned 6 years old, my family moved from our hometown to a larger suburb in a state several hours away. I was still 5 when my parents took me with them to look at the house they would end up buying. And while we were walking through, the little girl whose parents were selling the house invited me to walk with her. She was about my age or maybe a little older, and she seemed bossy in that big sister way. She showed me the room that would end up being my bedroom, and I remember her being very keen to show me the closet. She said a ghost lived in it, and I had to be very nice to the ghost or it would get me. I did not believe in ghosts. I was afraid of vampires, sharks, and cannibals. So I shrugged her off. Girl, relatable. She kept trying to make me go into the closet.
I'm only scared of the real shit.
That's right. Get out of here. She kept trying to make me go into the closet for a closer look, but I said no and went back to my mother's side. I don't remember anything else about the visit or much leading up to the move, but when we got into the house, I was afraid of that closet. I tried to make friends with it and made myself a little nest in the floor and spent time with the closet until I was comfortable. I'm an only child. It's not like I had siblings to play with. I made friends with trees and squirrels. Why not a closet? I was a latchkey kid, so I ended up being in the house alone a lot, and strange things were always happening. Granted, strange things were always happening around me everywhere we went. My mother seemed to attract it, so it felt normal to me at the time.
That's also relatable content.
I remember the impression of a small boy telling me to jump down the staircase from the top step. It started as, jump down from the second step, then try it from the middle, to now go to the top.
Oh my God.
It sounded like fun. So I remember absolutely launching myself. I know that this sounds unbelievable, but I also remember feeling like someone had their hands around my rib cage, helping me to sail to the landing at the foot of the stairs. It was as much fun as I had thought it would be, and I would jump from the middle or the top step fairly often, always when I was alone. One winter, I had the bright idea to go walking on the ice that had formed on the riverlet that ran a ring around our neighborhood.
How is this person still alive? How are you still alive?
I fell through the ice 3 times. The first time, I caught hold of a dock before I went all the way in. The second time, only one leg went in and I was able to scramble back up. The third time, I went all the way into my shoulders and someone helped me out. I have no description beyond someone. No one else was there. We lived in the house for almost 5 years and then it was time to move again. I remember feeling like the house was angry that we were leaving. I was 10 when people started visiting and to view the house, and I was excited to get to show them around like the previous owner's daughter had shown me around. When I said as much to my mother, she drew back and asked me to repeat myself. So I told her what I remembered about the little girl waving at me from the doorway to what was my parents' bedroom, inviting me to follow her into the other upstairs room. My mother paled, visibly, and she shook her head, saying, "No child lived in this house when we bought it. It was just an older couple. There was no little girl here. You just wandered off on your own when we toured the house and showed back up when we were about finished." To this day, I could tell you exactly what that little girl looked like, though I only saw her once. But I fully believe she was the ghost in the closet.
Wow. Oh my God.
No!
Also, stop walking on the ice, you dum-dum. Cut to the ghost with St. Jude, the patron saint of lost causes.
There are good ones from Only Children this year.
Here we go. From user, my hands are freezing. Not me, but a friend from school. We were all attending school in a small Canadian city where there are quite a lot of colleges and universities for its size, so lots of young people and parties/bars, etc. My friend lived alone in a one-bedroom ground floor apartment with a patio, with a door that locked and a front door that exited into the hallway of the building. Okay, I was like, how Canadian is it to be like, don't worry, our door locked. I get it. So a door to the outside and then a door into the hallway. One night, she's sleeping in her bed with the bedroom door just slightly ajar when suddenly she wakes up. At first, she can't figure out why she just woke up and it takes her a second to get her bearings. It's all quiet in her apartment. Then she realizes that the overhead light in her bedroom is on. She's sure she turned it off before she went to sleep. Why is it on? She's still half asleep and confused, trying to figure out what's happening when she sees something moving outside her bedroom door. And very, very slowly and silently, a hand and arm reach in through the small opening between the bedroom door and the wall. And very slowly, that hand turns off her bedroom light. Plunged into darkness, friend screams. She jumps out of bed and turns on her light, opens the bedroom door, and catches the last glimpse of a silhouette running out her front door.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
She told herself it was just some drunk student who let themselves into her apartment thinking it was someone else's and then ran out when they realized their mistake, which is a distinct possibility. However, she was sure she locked her front door and the patio door was still locked when she checked. How did he get in? That's it. That's enough. That's enough for me. And I have to tell you, I know multiple stories of people, especially in like apartment complexes that have lots of students in them, where somebody has come home drunk and let themselves into the wrong apartment. That absolutely happens. Mm. I've known people who have woken up with like totally harmless people on their couches, but like fucking yikes on bikes all the same. But also like that, like, slowly to turn the light off and to wake up with your lights on when you didn't vomit.
Oh my. Okay. Is mine the last one?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Prepare to be frightened.
I am ready.
Okay. This is from a user called Another Dog Named Luna. That's more fucking college stories. Okay. My freshman dorm was co-ed. Boys and girls divided into parallel halls on each floor, split by a bank of elevators in the middle. On my floor, the elevators were rumored to be haunted by a student who struggled with depression and died in his room about 15 years earlier. The circumstances were unclear, but part of the story was that he left behind a letter about how girls wouldn't talk to him. So, like, tragic, but also...
Oh no, we've got... Incels are like even haunting us now.
Yeah. Incel ghost. Okay. God. So I'd heard about it when I first moved in and then forgot all about it. Later that first semester, I was struggling a bit in an advanced economics class. I sat next to this very sweet, shy guy. We'll call him Kevin, who didn't talk much, but always had great answers to our class discussions when the professor called on him. One day after class, Kevin mentioned that he lived on my floor and had seen me around and would be happy to help me study. I agreed right away, and we planned to meet in the library. Kevin was an excellent teacher. He explained things in a way that our professor never could, and it was like retaking the whole class in 2 hours. I was so grateful and told him I owed him one. His shyness vanished out of nowhere, and he asked me out then and there. I didn't find Kevin that physically attractive, but his smarts and sweetness intrigued me, so I said yes. We made plans to go out that Friday. While I was getting ready, Kevin sent me a message asking me to meet him in his room. He said it was just off the elevators. When I walked in, he'd set up pizza and beers and a movie. The plan had been to go get Chinese food down the street, but I was flexible, so I settled onto his futon. His room was very bare bones. Nothing on the walls, no color. And I started to feel really uncomfortable, like almost a vertigo sensation. The second bed was stripped bare, and Kevin told me his roommate had moved out because the room creeped him out. So he'd been living alone since then.
Cool, cool, cool.
If you haven't guessed yet, this was apparently the same room where that freshman had died years before. Kevin told me he'd done a bunch of research on the guy and that he had all these issues with women, a record of stalking and harassment and drug problems, but also that he loved horror movies and had an old web page somewhere listing his favorite ones.
Ah!
And Kevin told me that he'd been trying to watch all of them, and the plan was to watch another one tonight. By that point, I was overwhelmed with this intense dread. I told him, I didn't like horror movies. Couldn't we watch something else instead? Shh, he's listening, said Kevin, motioning around himself. He turned the movie on and put his arm around my shoulders. Nope, I needed to get out of there. I told him I really couldn't stand scary movies and maybe we could do this another time. As I was turning his door handle to leave, he said, okay, but remember, you owe me. That became a theme for weeks. I aced that exam, and when I messaged him to say thank you again for the studying help, he replied, you owe me. He wrote, you owe me, on my roommate's dry erase board when we left the door unlocked one day.
Dry erase boards!
He wrote it again on one of the fogged up bathroom mirrors while I was in the fucking shower. He had clearly learned quite a lot from the horror movies he was watching. I was so freaked out and went to my RAs, who told Kevin to leave me alone and stay out of the women's bathroom. He did, but he also started leaving his dorm room open all the time, so if I ever used the elevators, he'd be there staring at me. I cannot tell you how much this reminds me of my first motherfucking boyfriend. Then, he was just gone one day. His room door was open and everything was cleared out. Even the beds and desks were gone. The doorknob was missing from the door.
What?
And despite my experience gone sour, I remember feeling sad about it because he was so smart and really should have been excelling in college. He had started out sweet and helpful, a good classmate and someone I thought for a moment could be a friend. But as I got to know more guys from his side of the hallway, they started sharing how Kevin had gone from really nice and a little withdrawn to dark and mean and obsessed with the ghost of the guy who died in his room.
Oh my God.
He claimed the guy was talking to him at night and that his former roommate had actually moved out because he didn't feel safe in there. And that security recovered several knives and other weapons from under his bed. My RAs finally told me months later that the school made him leave after he was found in one of the girls' bathroom stalls with a knife in his pocket. Ooh, guess he needed a sacrifice, joked the male RA, which I did not find funny at all.
Oh my God.
Especially because they told me I needed to call the police if I saw him on campus. And especially because they didn't let anyone else move into that room. Not that year, not the years after. The room became a legend itself, and the door always stayed open. People would claim to see dark figures in it late at night or hear noises coming from it. I never dared to look in it again. Kept my back to it whenever I was by the elevators. Cut to years later.
Why don't I keep your back to it either?
Years later, I'm in grad school. I'm engaged to be married. A few months before my wedding, my fiancé and I both get a friend request from a random guy that neither of us knew. No profile picture. But he had gone to our college. I did a search for the name, and it led me to articles about the suicide in our dorm from the 90s. Someone was using that kid's name. Yep, you guessed it. I got a message request later that night that said, "You owe me."
Son of a bitch. Ooh, I hate it. Oh, I hate that so much. Oh my God, I hate that.
It is fucking dreadful. Dreadful. Dreadful.
Wow. That made my boobs hurt somehow.
Yeah, girl. Oh my God, that's so... Just 2% more supernatural than my psychotic first boyfriend, who... The way that story went is how he ended up making himself my boyfriend.
Lovely.
Awful. Wretched.
Gross.
Disgusting. Vomit.
What is wrong with people? Why must people persist in their terribleness?
Why do I hate it so much?
Awful. Okay, well, that was terrible. I hope that no one's going right to bed.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, also, wasn't there supposed to be like a Dear David movie coming out or something?
Oh, yes, it's still happening. It's still happening from Adam. Oh, I will also say, fun spooky shit from that creator, Adam Tots. Mm-hmm. Adam has a Patreon that if you kick like $5 to monthly, he posts comics, like 9 times out of 10 horror comics that he's made himself. And they're so fucking disconcerting and some of them like just make your stomach drop in dread. He's so talented.
Nice.
A lot of them are a lot of them are very, very gay, very muscular, giant phallus renderings of, I mean, he just, a lot of it is like silly erotica for him and him alone. But he also does horror comics and they're so fucking good. Nice. So that's an actual spooky recommendation. And for people who are easily terrified by horror movies but want to celebrate, I need to recommend the Prime movie, Totally Killer.
So adorable.
So good, right?
So adorable. Is that what, I don't understand what cozy horror is exactly. And there is a lot of blood in this movie, but it is definitely like, there's almost not, it's almost not even jumps. There's a couple of jump scares.
It's not scary.
It is yee.
Yeah.
And there's times where you're like, God damn it, why aren't you listening to her? Like, follow the rules, follow the rules. But I watched it by myself and I was A-okay. It was super fun.
It's a good one, right? And then there's one that might be called My Best Friend's Exorcism that's similar.
Oh, I watched that last year. That was really cute.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Super queer. Loved that one. Totally Killer was really fun. The Blackening is really good. Also streaming on Prime right now. Not too scary at all. Also, I had okay, you're not going to enjoy this as much as I do, but I pride myself on having seen every single Freddy, every single Jason, and I thought every single Halloween, Mike Myers movie. Untrue. I have not seen every single Halloween. And the third one, canonically, in the 5 million Halloweens that exist, they all have Michael Myers, except the third one, because John Carpenter never wanted to make a franchise. He was like, let me just make fucking scary movies. And they were like, no, give us more of this guy. And he's like, fuck you. So he gives them the script and just relabels it Halloween 3. But it is meant to be a freestanding, totally separate horror film.
Oh, how interesting.
So Halloween 3 is called Season of the Witch. There is not a single lick of Mike Myers in it at all. It's from 1982, and it's kind of a mystery where this doctor has a patient come in who is, you know, like this old man comes in and he's gibbering and jabbering about, they're trying to kill us, they're trying to kill us. And he's like, they're there, we'll watch you overnight. And overnight, the dude is murdered. He has his eyeballs extracted and his whole skull crushed in. And so he's like, let me find out what happened to my patient. And it leads him down this very Columbo tunnel of like an evil mask maker who's creating Halloween masks in order to like sow complete and utter chaos and misery.
Fun.
So it's a little bit mystery, a little bit like fucking Murder, She Wrote. and yeah, and there are Stonehenge references in it.
Sure.
It is eerie and dreadful, but it's not that scary at all. It's a really good ambiance movie, and like in terms of retro horror, it is magnifique.
Yay.
There was one other one. There was one other one that was not that scary. But, yeah, fucking good.
Nice.
Fucking good. Yeah. So, those are my recommendations for those of you who can't handle horror. And there's one called Relic that I just watched, whose dread is out of this world, is very effectively scary. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for you, but it's so beautiful. It's this beautiful movie directed by a woman, written and directed by a woman, and it's like about intergenerational like Alzheimer's, and it's heartbreaking.
Wow.
Like I also cried, and also my shoulders were up to my eyebrows for most of it, and I peered through a sweater for some of it.
I do that
because I knew a scare was coming, but also I then found myself fucking sobbing at the end. Like it was beautiful, really beautiful. So
nice
recommendations across the board.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
Hooray.
Well, happy spooky Halloween, and we'll happy be back to Halloween. Regular formats next time that we publish something.
And then we're going to hit you with the hard stuff.
Hey. Right in the face.
Thwap.
Oh, quick plug for my friend Fancy Feast's book that just came out called Naked. I don't know if I mentioned it last time. It's really great. It's called Naked on Sex, Work, and Other Burlesques. And she tells a story about working at a sex toy store on the Lower East Side where she said that people would just hit their partners with sex toys. And that the most often to become a melee weapon would be Packers. So a lot of people have never seen them before, but they're like a soft penis and balls shaped usually thing that people put in their pants for gender confirmation and or for whatever reason you would want to bulge in your pants. And people thought that they were funny and didn't understand why there would be, you know, a flaccid penis, which I'm sure that's what I thought the first time I saw them, too. But but the idea, she said it just happened so much and that people would always smack their partner in the face with them. Oh, and I'm God. Like, that's disgusting. That thing's why you would never put anything else in all of New York City on your partner's face. Where the hell has that been?
And now on several other people's faces, in addition to whatever godforsaken bedbug ridden warehouse.
Wah. Anyway, but she has great stories to tell, and you should get that book. It's great.
Hooray!
It's not spooky, unless you're scared of dildos. There's a lot of dildo talk. Amazing. All right. Well, all right. Cheers to you, and we love you, fuck buddies.
We do, fuck buddies. We're happy to be back. Mm-hmm. All right. Love you, Lillian Bustle.
Oh, I love you, Jim Ponton.
Bye-bye.
Bye.